Let's read together Psalms 111 and 112. In Psalm 111, we are exhorted to praise the Lord for his excellencies. And in Psalm 112, we see the blessings that come to the person who fears the Lord. Let's begin by reading Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Let's consider a few background notes for these Psalms, Psalms 111 and 112. Psalms 111 and 112 naturally go together. They both begin with praise the Lord, that is, hallelujah in Hebrew. This is a good indication, by the way, that both of these Psalms were used for liturgical purposes. In Psalm 111, the theme is the Lord who is to be feared and praised. And the theme of Psalm 112 is the person who fears the Lord is blessed. Both Psalms 111 and 112 are perfect alphabetic or acrostic psalms. Both psalms have 22 lines each, corresponding to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In the 10 verses of each psalm, you will find 22 lines. Each line begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order, A to Z, as it were. Now try to do this with the English alphabet, and you will see that it takes a little effort, which I'm sure was true for the inspired writer or writers of these psalms. That brings us now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 111. The Lord should be praised for his excellencies. The Lord should be praised for his excellencies. Excellencies would include God's attributes as well as his works and his words. All of these excellencies are woven together throughout this psalm. We see in verse 1 that the psalmist is determined to praise the Lord publicly with the Lord's people. And that should be our desire as well. The idea of only worshiping the Lord alone in private is not biblical. In verses 2 through 4, we see that the works of the Lord are wonderful and majestic, and he wants us to study them and delight in them. And by his grace, he makes this possible. Verse 4. Illustration. You know, in the course we teach at North Stonington Christian Academy, our study includes some of the wonderful designs that God has put into nature. It is a delight to study what God has made and results in praise. All of the works of the Lord are good because he is righteous. Let's read verses 2 through 4 once again. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. In verses 5 and 6, we have some examples of God's goodness to his people Israel. He fed them in the wilderness. He kept his covenant with them and brought them into the land of promise that he gave them as a heritage among the nations. In verses 7 through 9, there is the guarantee again that God will keep his covenant with Israel forever. We have that firm commitment in both verse 5 and verse 9. And God's precepts are sure, verses 7 and 8. As the Lord redeemed Israel out of Egypt because of his covenant with the patriarchs, verse 9, so he would send the Messiah as a redeemer, and so he will restore Israel in the future, because his covenant with them is forever. The Lord keeps his promises. Let's read these verses once again, verses 7 through 9. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The Lord keeps his promises. The Lord should be praised for his excellencies. Now, what about a practical application from Psalm 111? Do you have the right foundation for making right decisions? Do you have the right foundation for making right decisions? Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what's the right foundation for making right decisions? It's the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, you will certainly make some bad decisions in life. And even small bad decisions can affect the rest of your life. So learn the secret of making right decisions. It is to have the right foundation, namely the fear of the Lord. To fear the Lord in this context is to show reverence and honor and obedience to the Lord and his word. This is the beginning or foundation for wisdom and making right decisions. Do you have the right foundation for making right decisions? Let's continue reading Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in his everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn or strength will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Let's consider some background notes for Psalm 112. Remember, this psalm is also a perfect alphabetic or acrostic psalm like Psalm 111. In Psalm 111, the focus was on the Lord who is to be feared and praised. In Psalm 112, the focus is on the person who fears and worships the Lord and as a result is blessed. Doctrinal point for Psalm 112. The person who fears the Lord is blessed. The person who fears the Lord is blessed. As we read through this psalm, we can see five blessings that come to the righteous person who fears the Lord. Blessing number one, physical and material prosperity. Verses 2 and 3. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Blessing number two, light or guidance in the darkness. Verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Blessing number 3. Goodness in exchange for generosity and justice. Verse 5. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Blessing number 4. Stability and confidence. Verses 6 through 8. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. And blessing number 5, strength and honor as a result of giving to the poor. Verse 9, he is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn or strength will be exalted with honor. Now let me ask you, do you want any of these blessings? The key is to fear the Lord. That is to show reverence and honor and obedience to the Lord and his word. Well, what about blessing number one, the blessing of physical and material prosperity? Is that promised to the faithful believer today? Answer, yes and no. It must be remembered that in context, these promises were made to God's Old Testament people, Israel, who were a theocracy under the law, direct rule by God, under the Mosaic covenant. That time is over. In the New Testament, there is no guarantee that the faithful Christian will be healthy and wealthy. Now, it is true that if we follow the biblical principles of caring for our bodies and conservative money management, we will find that the practice of these principles tend for better health and greater prosperity. But again, there is no New Testament guarantee that a Christian will not get cancer or not work for minimum wages. But faithful Christians are guaranteed that they will be blessed with spiritual blessings. And in the long run, spiritual blessings are really far better than perfect health and lots of money. The person who fears the Lord will be blessed. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 112? Practical application number one, know the secret for reducing stress. Know the secret for reducing stress. In verse 7, we read that the committed believer who trusts the Lord has a steadfast heart and will not be afraid of evil tidings. Well, wait a minute, you say. I know some committed believers that fear evil tidings. What about the evil tidings that all your financial savings are gone? What about the evil tidings that you or someone in your family has an incurable disease? What about the evil tidings that you've lost your job? How do you handle stress in these situations? What is the secret for having a steadfast heart at times like these? The secret is to know and believe the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. That God is sovereign means that he is in total control of all things at all times. Nothing happens by chance. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says that God works all things after the counsel of his will. And we certainly have enough scripture to tell us that God cares for us and works behind the scenes on our behalf. Romans 8, 28 and 1 Peter 5, 7, for example. So the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is wonderful truth for the believer. It is the secret for handling stress when evil tidings come our way. Know the secret for reducing stress. Practical application number two. Don't be deceived by the mask of the wicked. Don't be deceived by the mask of the wicked. Verse 10. The wicked will see it and be grieved or troubled. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. What a contrast we have here in verse 10 with the rest of the psalm. The desire of the righteous is to delight in the Lord. Verse 2, the desire of the wicked is anything but to delight in the Lord. Now, the unrighteous can generally wear a deceptive mask. They look like they are happy and satisfied with their prosperity. But according to verse 10, they are not happy and satisfied. Beneath the mask, they are troubled and can't stand the fact that the righteous are truly happy and blessed. And in the end, the wicked and all they desired will perish. Don't be deceived by the mask of the wicked.